Going to the book of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah chapter 9, but the Lord laid this on my heart here a while back, and to be honest with you, I've been studying this myself, and the Lord laid it on my heart to study it for me, and then I thought, well, you know, the more I got to praying about it, the more I got to thinking on it, it's like, hey, if I'm studying it for me, then I'd let you know what I've been studying. And we can all study it together. How's that? Sounds good. So, what does it mean to know God? And that's what I've been studying. What does it mean to know God? I want you to understand, not just to know about God, but to really, really know God. What does it really mean to know God, not just about Him? I'd say most believers, really and truly, I'd say most believers feel a distance from God. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's, we're here on earth, we're living here, God is God. But in a sense, we may feel a distance. You know, like God's there and I'm here. But if I'm a child of God, that makes Him my Father, right? Amen. If you're saved, that makes God your Heavenly Father. And really, we should have a real relationship with each other. Now, my dad did not have that. That great relationship with the Father, because he didn't have one. He had a stepdad that he later in years found out was his real father, but it was after he was grown. I was already in my 20s, or no, actually in my 30s, before he was told that Jack James was his actual dad. So I just told off on myself. I'm really not a Smith. But the key is he didn't have that relationship with the Father. And there's some other people in here, I know one especially, that did not have a real relationship with the Father. I had a relationship with my dad. I knew what he liked to eat. I knew where he liked to fish at. Later in years, I found out a whole lot more about my dad that he didn't tell me when I was young, because it wouldn't have been expedient for me. that it's important to have a relationship with the Father. And really and truly, that's what I've been studying about, having a relationship. Now, pastors and deacons and theologians, I'll even go to that point, they have more of a, they got a similar problem, really, but it's more based on a, how would I say it? It's more based on preaching and serving the Lord. It's kind of like, I don't want you to take this wrong, but it's kind of like a business. This is my profession. It's what I do. God called me, and so in a sense, it is my profession, is what I do. And therefore, with that said, a lot of what I study about God and I study in the ministry is sometimes of a necessity when it ought to be more on a personal level. And so we have that same barrier in a sense. You were looking at God at a distance. God is out there, you know, and we're here. I look at it sometimes the same way, but I also look at it through that scientific part of it. I'm studying God, and I need to know God, because, listen, you ask me questions, I'm supposed to be able to answer it, right? And so, but really and truly, we need to know God on a more personal level. So we face the same problems crossing the professional level to the personal level of knowing God. We can only worship someone we love. And we can only love someone we know. Listen, there's people in this world that I know of, but I don't love them. You know, when I first met my wife, I knew who she was. She was cute. Pastor's daughter, which wasn't good. You know. But as I got to know her, then I started that love relationship. It got closer and closer and closer. You know, the love grew more and more. And the more I knew about her. Now there's things I know about her that I didn't know about her 39 years ago. I'll stop right there. Anyway, she's looking at me like, But you see, as I know her, then it really gets down, and I don't want you to take this in the wrong way, but in a sense, how do I compare this? I love her enough that you've heard the sayings and the songs, worship the ground she walks on. You know, and really and truly, I don't worship my wife because I ain't to worship anybody but God. But in that sense, in the flesh or in the humanistic side of it, she is that special to me. Now, God should be that special to us. And the only way we can give Him the true worship He deserves is that if we know Him. And the more we love Him, the more we know Him. So really and truly, you can say worship begins in the heart that touches the heart of God. A heart that truly knows the one they're worshiping. Listen, if I am going to think of her as super, super special, I need to know her. You know, I really do. I need to know her to the point that I need to know what she likes to eat, what she don't like, what torques her off, what makes her happy, the whole nine yards. I need to know that. Really and truly, I start liking the same thing she likes. You know, it's like brainwashed. Not quite. But now she has a hard time with it when it comes to broccoli because I just can't like broccoli. I don't know what it is about broccoli. Listen, if it stinks, I ain't going to cook it and eat it. Broccoli smell. You can put broccoli in the refrigerator and it'll ruin everything in there. It'll get that odor. And then people want to eat that stuff. I just don't understand that. So the more I know a person, the more I learn about them, the easier it is for me to love that person. If we truly learn of God as He is, we will love Him. And if we love Him, then worship isn't something we just do. Worship will become more like a flow from a mountain, like a mountain stream. It'll come from the heart. And it'll be full of His knowledge and His wisdom and real love for God and who He is. Now, let's look at a relationship with the spouse as we've been doing. It's that relationship that we want with God. That kind of relationship I want with God is when I hold her hand and we're walking through the mall, it gives me a good feeling. We've even got a certain way we hold hands. And you know why we come up with that? Because I told her, I said, one of these days if I'm blind and I don't know who's standing there, if you grab my hand and I turn from my certain way I hold your hand, I'll know it's you. And I will. I'll know it's her. And that's the kind of relationship that we need with God. We need that kind of relationship that gives you that warm tingle feeling. You know? It's like when I kiss her, I get warm, fuzzy feeling all over. That's the same kind of relationship that God wants with us. He wants us to be that excited and that joy in our heart to have that kind of relationship. And listen, we can. It's not far-fetched. That's what God tells us we can have. And so we need it first. All right. Go to Ephesians. Well, you can turn to Ephesians. Hang on to Jeremiah because we ain't read there yet. Go to Ephesians if you want to, or write it down. Chapter 5. Now, this is an important verse. verse 25 of Ephesians 5, he said, if we live in the Spirit... Oh, that's Galatians. I got to go one more. Yeah, we need to be living in the Spirit. Amen. 5 and 25 of Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. That's the way we are to love our wives, the same way that Christ loves the church. So when I compare that, I'm like, okay, I can understand what kind of relationship that I'm supposed to have with God. I'm supposed to compare that relationship to her. So what will I do for her? I'll do anything on this earth I possibly can outside of putting her before God. That's what Jesus did for me. What did He do for the church? Acts 20:28 says He shed the blood. He shed His blood for the church. He gave His life, according to Ephesians 5:25, for the church. That's the way we're to love our wives. It is to be unconditionally. She makes me mad. And she does. Not saying that I don't make her mad. Very seldom would I do that. But she makes me mad. But you know what? I'm still supposed to love her the same way Christ loves the church. Do you think the church makes God mad? How many were here? There were 72, I think, here this morning. There ain't 72 here tonight. And if all 72 that were here this morning was saved, they should be here tonight. You don't think God gets mad at them? Yeah, He does. But you know what? He loves it just the same. He don't hold it against her. That's what I'm supposed to do with my wife. I am supposed to... Now, is that easy? No. Because, see, my flesh wants to fire back at her. But you know what? Listen, Jesus didn't fire back at me. He just says, I love you. And He loved me enough to die for me. Amen? Now, that's the kind of relationship we're to have. First, if we don't know God, then this is what may take place. We'll create a God that's convenient for us. If you don't really know God, you're going to create a God in your mind, your idea of God, that's convenient for you. Well, that's cool. Because, I mean, there's things I want to do that God said, no. But if I don't know Him, then it's easy for me to make it convenient for me. I can say, well, my God, such as a church not too far from here, or a building they call it, it got a big, huge sign out by the highway that says it's okay to not be okay. That ain't in the Bible. It's okay to not be okay. You know, it's okay to have a problem, but when you come to church, you're supposed to be able to get that problem taken care of. And you leave there a different person. You come as you were and leave different. You know, we'll accept them however. But we hope and pray that when they leave, they're not the same. Because the same wasn't very good. So we'll create a God that'll make it okay for us to be that way. Live however you want to. Second, if we don't know God, we become very vulnerable to false teaching. To believe what man says God is. And trust me, man's got some strange ideas about things. You know, you start falling into, well, you've got to wear a suit and tie with a white shirt, and it's got to be a black tie, and women, you need to have dresses on from your neck all the way down to your heels, and keep your mouth shut in church, and don't you even breathe a word, and all of these things. And that's not biblical. But that's what people start, because they're vulnerable. They fall for whatever kind of teachings that come about. And so we need to know God for these things. Now, Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches." Now look at verse 24 and pay real close attention. "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, saith the Lord." Now, knowing God gives us a sense of pride. Years ago, I had a problem with pride. I'll just tell you. I was a very prideful person. So, what are you proud about? What are you prideful about? What do you brag about? My buddy Jack's got a sticker on his trailer, and it said, "Just bragging on Jesus." You see, we can boast, we can be prideful in the right things. Now, years ago, I was very prideful in the work I did. I was very prideful in my dress, the way I wore my mustache. All of these things, it was all about self. It's all about me, myself, and I. I had a veterinarian that I'd been wanting to meet for a long time. He was a famous veterinarian, and I ended up working for this guy. And I was in Colorado shoeing horses, and I was in a barn one day, and he walked in the barn, and he says, "Where's this Jim Smith? I got to meet somebody as popular as he is." Well, I'm bent over with a horse, and I stood up, and man, I was about 6 foot taller than what I really was. You know, when I stood up, it was like, "What? That'd be me?" You know, and you are, and well, I knew who he was. His name was George Platt. He'd been in magazines, and I'd wanted to work with this guy. He dealt exclusively, really, with the Heart Bar Shoe, and I believed in the Heart Bar Shoe and the stuff that it did for horses. And so I got to work with him. But the problem is, I had a prideful attitude, and that was the wrong way. It was the wrong attitude to have. And trust me, pride goeth before fall. And when you fall from way up here, man, it's rough when you hit the bottom. If you fall from here, it ain't too bad. But when you get up as high as I thought I was, it's a long way down. And so, what are you boastful about? Jeremiah says, "But let him that glorieth," in other words, braggeth, boasteth, "glory in this, that he understandeth me." In other words, we ought to boast in, we try to understand God. The Apostle Paul in Galatians, the book of Galatians, you can just write it down, Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says, 6:14, if I can get to 14, I've got everything but that. "But God forbid that I should glory." In other words, that I should be boasting, "save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." In other words, Paul was boasting in the cross. In Romans 1:16, he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He was boasting in Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the death of the cross, the burial, the resurrection." And so that's what Jeremiah is telling us. Hebrews. This one of them books is real hard to find is Hosea. It's in the Old Testament, but man, you just thumb right on by it if you ain't real careful. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, if you want to write it down. If I didn't even get to it, I brought the Bible that I don't use a whole lot. By the way, Mike, it's page 1301. But for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Worship is important, but knowing God, basically what Hosea just said, knowing God, knowing who He is, knowing the loving God that He is more important than the worship we have. It's more important than the sacrifices that they were doing. Is really to know God, that's the important thing. Now, look at what Paul said in Philippians 3:10. There again, you write it down. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Paul said to the Philippians, he said that, he was in jail. He said, I want to know God. And truly, that's what we need to know. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. He said, for now we see though through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Listen, we should know God so well that one of these days when we die and enter heaven, it ought to be such a smooth transition that it's not a problem. It ought to be like going home. Man, when I go see my mom and dad, I walk up to the door and I just open the door up and go on in. Sandy says, you ain't going to knock? No, it's my mom and dad. I ain't knocking at their door. Forget it. I'm home. My daughter asked the other day. She said, "Well, I don't really know where home is, Dad, because you know we lived in Lamar and we lived here and we lived there. Justin, we lived a lot of places." Her mom told her, "Home's wherever your mom and dad's at. That's where home." My daughter can come to see me, and I've told all three of my kids, "Don't come sneaking in my house at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll shoot you." You walk in the door at 3 a.m., you ain't got to knock, but when you start turning the doorknob and say, Dad, I'm home, you know, let me know. And I'm going to say, come on in. Really and truly, when we get to that day, and if the Lord tarries, all of us will get there one day, it ought to be so smooth, us dying and leaving this world, that it's just like we show up at Mom and Dad's house and say, hey, Mom, how you doing? It ought to be that way. We ought to be, when we're in the process of dying, if it's one of them long, drawn-out things, it ought to just be, hey, I'm heading on out. Going into eternity. And I'm going to God. I'm not going to a stranger. See, God, I'm afraid, to too many believers, is a stranger. We need that personal relationship with Him. Knowing God is what we need. Now, I'm going to stop there because I don't want to get into all that because we got some business to take care of tonight. Next Sunday, Wednesday we'll pick up at Acts, but next Sunday we're going to pick up with knowing God gives a sense of purpose. So, think about what Jeremiah 24 says. But let him that glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. We need to understand God and knoweth God. Can we? Sure we can. We have the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible tells me. It says, I can know and understand that I am the Lord which exercised loving kindness. He has showed us all loving kindness. Amen. He shows us loving kindness every single day of our life. Who in here don't sin? Raise your hand. I didn't think nobody would. He shows us loving kindness every time that we mess up. Because guess what? He says, if you'll ask forgiveness, I'm faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You know, He just picks you right back up. Like when Peter stepped out of the boat, he said, Lord, I'm coming to you. And as he was walking along, all of a sudden he took his eyes off Jesus and he started sinking. And all of a sudden he said, Lord, save me. Listen, Peter was saved. Peter was a saved man. He was saying, Lord, save me right now, man. I'm sinking, dude. And Jesus picked him up and carried him back to the boat. See, that's what God will do for us. And the more we know and understand God, the easier it'll be for us to worship Him. It won't just be, well, we need to go to church Sunday. No, it'll be a daily thing of worshiping and serving a God that we have, a loving God. And He is a loving God. Let's all stand, and we'll have a verse of invitation, if I can get Miss Judy to come up. But tonight, if the Lord's spoken to you in any way, whatever it may be, maybe you just need to come up and pray. Maybe you say, you know what, I don't know if I'm saved. Whatever it is, just follow the Lord's guidance.